Everyone this evening, and thank you, Brother Alan, for opening up and committing our time into the Lord's hands. It's good that we all share. This is what body ministry is about. And I'd like to just exhort you this evening in the faith. And this evening we're going to call this teaching, maintain the simplicity of Jesus, or maintain a simple understanding and walk with Jesus, because that's the emphasis I want to bring out tonight. When Jesus came, and for those few years he ministered by the Spirit, his ministry was not complicated. He was not complicated. Even though he divested himself and took on human flesh, human form, being God in spirit, created the heavens and the earth, the absolute complexity of everything, yet in his manifestation, in his revelation to man, he came in the most simplest way. And of course, we get no clearer understanding than that of when he was born in a stable as a babe. A very simple scene. Nothing complicated. And this is what God is doing with all of us now in these last days, as he is preparing us for this final walk, as we are close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as in the world everything is becoming more complex, more complicated. Man's mind is confused, to say the least. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is to undo all of that. Even the deep truths of the Word of God, there's still that simplistic element that runs through it all. And we really do need to learn this, brothers and sisters, if we are really to have a message in these last days, a message of good news, a message that calls men and women to turn around and to walk as disciples and to have this new life in Christ Jesus. It has to be a message that's fresh, that's new, that's simple, that is not complicated in any way or form. The reason that I emphasize this tonight is because man's mind is so tampered by the powers of darkness. Whether it be in education, whether it be in the world, whether it be at work, whether it be university, everything is so highly complex and so confusing. And yet we find that the Lord, in his delivering us, is bringing the simplicity of Jesus and his message to us, and not only to us, but to a dying world. And we see nothing more simpler than Jesus' teachings on the Sermon on the Mount and all these inner principles that he gives there. But I'm reminded of a scripture in Matthew 6 and verse 30, which I will just read out to you, where it's in the context of where we're not to worry about our lives, to worry about what we do, where we go, where our money comes from, and so forth. And that is walking with a simple faith, that simple childlike faith that God so constantly keeps reminding us of. And we note in verse 30, in which he says, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" A simple statement of Jesus very often is a puzzle. And it's a puzzle to us because we will not be simple. We like to be complicated. We like to pride ourselves up with our knowledge. We like to be puffed up. We like the challenges of life. And we find it very difficult to receive actually the simple engrafted word of God. And it takes a long time for God to actually work with us. We get a clear understanding of that with the Apostle Paul, where the Spirit led him out into Arabia, I believe, for about 13 years. What was God doing there with him? Simply making his mind, his faith, and everything simple. And this is exactly what God is doing with you and I. He's making our walk with him a simple, loving, fulfilled relationship and walk with him. Our walk with Jesus is not complicated. It is us who make it complicated. And that's why I'm calling this teaching tonight as I am. We have to remember, and we know so well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll just read some of these scriptures that we know very, very well. In verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." A lot of that is because man complicates it. He's complicated the cross. Or he's changed the cross. He substituted the cross for other means. Not only in teaching the cross, the complication of it, but also the idea of the cross, where we simply just see a cross that they set on an altar or on top of a church building and not in the lives of the believers. So again, we have such a complication with this. And that is why the cross is so seldom taught amongst ministry today. He then goes on, doesn't he, in verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty and noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." Complicated, in other words. That's really what is being said there. So, we are often puzzled, confused, by statements, by things that we read in the Word of God, because we are not in ourselves simple. We're complicated. We're confused. We've been damaged by the world. We've been deceived by very strong demons that are prevalent in the world. So we see this tremendous, wonderful deliverance that God is working with us. As we know, as the scripture said, the Son shall set you free. You are free indeed. It is a deliverance. And of course, this deliverance is taking place in the mind. He's unraveling. He's undoing. He's taking out all the wrong things, the things that are corrupt, the things that make us, when we look at the Word of God, we make it complicated. Or each day as we walk by the Spirit, our minds, fear, and those things that he's still delivering us from, complicated. This is why he's not only in the Beatitudes, but he speaks about verses from verses 25 through to 34 of Matthew 6 about not being worried. Worry complicates a Christian. Worry, anxiety, causes us to try and understand God in that bondage, and you never will. You have to get delivered from these things to understand the simplicity that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so often in his teachings and his parables. So how can we maintain the simplicity of Jesus so that we may understand him? Well, obviously, by receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Another reason why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is a further experience with God. Remember that when we're saved, the Spirit is with us. But when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he's now in us. And that is the key to understanding. Receiving it by the Spirit. Recognizing and relying on him and him alone. And not only that, but the simplicity that is to be found in Jesus is so to work in us obedience to him. And this obedience to him, it brings us into truth. It brings us into relationship with him. It brings us into a deeper understanding of his word and so on. Actually, this walk will, if we stay with it, become amazingly simple. To pray for the sick is amazingly simple. To believe in the promises of God is amazingly simple. And that is why we miss it, brothers and sisters. Because we have complicated our walk with Jesus. And he wants to unravel all of that. I believe these are the real highlights of deliverance we're coming into now, brothers and sisters. This is something really profound, wonderful, that God's starting to work with us now after all these years. I am so encouraged by this. Because the devil wants to keep our faith complicated. He wants to keep the gospel complicated. He wants to keep your life and my life complicated by still getting caught up in the things of the world. But if we let him, he will unravel all of that to make our lives and walks as Christians simple before Almighty God. This is why there's so much complexity. You've only got to look on Pal Talk and all these rooms talking on religion and Christianity. The utter complexity of it. The devil has a field day. And God is undoing all of that so that we can enjoy our walk and relationship with Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful that only God and God alone can do that? He never created us for a complex relationship and walk with him. But worry, fear, unbelief, that's what it will do. And it does it every time. And so Jesus considers us here, isn't he, what we read? He considers us, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which the day is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven? Will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Will he not clothe you if you keep that right relationship with him? Every time we lose ground in our fellowship with God, it is because we have disrespectfully thought that we knew better than Jesus Christ. We lose it because we think we know better than Jesus. We lose it because we think by worrying and being anxious and concerned about all the things that God will bless us with means that we know better than Jesus, and it is so disrespectful to him. This is why we need to keep our knees bowed in his presence, and we need to just tell him when we miss it, to be honest, to be open, and to apologize. Thank God he doesn't give up on us, but he continues to work with us. Praise God. But we've allowed the cares of this world in which to enter in. What does it say in Matthew 13, verse 22? Matthew 13 and verse 22, of which he says here, "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of the riches, deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful." How often has the word of God, yes, even us who are in full gospel assembly, who listen to it once, twice a week, yet how often have we fall victim to verse 22? The cares of the world and its deceitfulness, its lies. How often have we allowed that to choke the word of God? And when we choke the word of God, we are hindering our relationship and walk with Jesus. That is what it's saying. How often have we let that happen? So while reading that, it's interesting how much more it says our Heavenly Father. If we think, talking of the things of the world and the animals and the birds and everything, how much more you and I who are made and created in Jesus? How much more? But the problem is, we've made our walk with Jesus complicated. And fear, unbelief, anxieties will do that. It eats away. And that is why Jesus stresses this in the Gospels. If you want to go on deeper with him and to mature and grow as sons and daughters of God. Look at the birds of the air, he says. What is their function, the birds of the air? Well, their function is to obey the instincts that God has placed within them. And they don't question it. And if they just do the instinct that is in them, how much more we who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why don't we just instinctively do what the Spirit within us does and wants to do? He is placed through the new birth, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's placed all of these things that he challenges us with week after week to, if I could use this word, instinctively do. I trust that we're all of us, born again, filled with the Spirit, I trust that we're not all still trying to love God, or trying to pray, or trying to come to church, or come online, or trying to speak in the Spirit, or trying to read the Word of God. Why, no. Our walk is instinctive. It's like breathing. It's what we want to do. It's an affection. It's a desire. It's simply there. Why? Because it's been given. It is a gift. It is exactly the same with our belief. Our belief in the promises of God. It's exactly the same. It's instinctive when we see someone sick and they have faith to believe. It's instinctive just to pray for them or lay hands on them and they will recover. It should be like breathing, which is natural to us because that is how God has made us. And so Jesus said, if you would obey the life of God within us, he would look after all the other things. And that's ultimately, brothers and sisters, what he's working with us. He's getting us to obey him. And that obeying would be just like the rest, our love for him, those things that we do, those spiritual things. So our obedience will become more and more of an affection, a desire. It'll become instinctive. It's my walk with God. It's part of me. And that is ultimately, you see, what God is restoring and bringing us back to is obedience, which of course Adam and Eve forfeited. They were disobedient. And there's the problem. Now you might say to me, well, I don't know how God's going to work with me because I'm certainly not the obedient one. I'm quite rebellious. Well, that's probably why you're saved then. Because God is going to work that in you. And he does. And he does it by affection. He does it by love. By respect. That's how he works it in us. So that it will become just natural, like breathing. And so, they grow where they are planted, as we consider those lilies of the field. And those lilies of the field are planted, and we are planted also by the Lord. And as those lilies are planted, they don't try and uproot themselves. So we likewise remain where we are, where God puts us. And there we flourish. And that's why we flourish in the courts of the Lord. So many believers today are not flourishing because they're running from one ministry to another, from one church to another. They don't know where they are. They don't know where they fit in. They just don't know. That is not how God works with us. God will place us where he wants us to flourish, just like those lilies of the field. And so he's going to look after everything else if we just let him do what he wants to do. So the question is, are we experiencing then more and more of the Lord if this is what we believe and we're holding on to? Because if we're not, it's because we're not obeying the life of God that he's given us in Jesus Christ. We've cluttered our minds just with consuming things and thoughts and worries and anxieties. How much time have we wasted asking God senseless questions while, you know, we should be absolutely free to concentrate ourselves on him and walking with him? We waste a lot of time with God. And fear and anxiety will waste a lot of time with God because that's a lot of the things he hears from us. Our fears and our anxieties. Yes, Lord, but what if? What if this happens? What if that happened? I better get in prayer. I better fast for a week. And all of that has its place. But we really do need to understand our motive when we come before God. Am I believing? Because if I'm not believing, well then, prayer might be needed. But the question is that all the while we are worried about the world world, worried about my needs, paying and everything, we're going to constantly bring this before Almighty God. And brothers and sisters, he saved us for bigger and better and greater things than that. That's why we believe and hold on to the greater works. The greater works are not coming as a result of fear and worry and anxiety. We need to up our game with God. We need to move on to another plateau and really start to pray the things that God wants us to pray about. And not still our fears and worries and anxieties, which hinder and take so much time, you see. So we really do need to think, how much time, Lord, have I been wasting with these senseless questions? And this is why our separation is so important. Because separating myself from everything except that which God has appointed me to do, if I don't consecrate myself, I'm going to be praying much about my needs, my wants, my fears, my anxieties, because I'm not obeying God. I won't let God consecrate me. So I'm always falling into sin, falling into wrong company, meeting wrong people who are trying to deceive me or seduce me and everything. All of that takes time. It's a hindrance because we're not yielding to the Spirit. We're not obeying him. You say to me, it's easier said than done. But I'll tell you something. If you're fully consecrated to God and you're walking with him, that's the best experience you'll ever have in this life. Nothing can compare with that. No believer should be bored. If we're truly drawing from the life of Christ that is in us, that's the question, you see. But it is this consecration. You see, it's not a one-time experience, but it's an ongoing process. There's more experiences for us in and through the Holy Spirit. I believe there's furthermore baptismal experiences, more to experience through the outpouring of the Spirit, through the baptism. Much, much more. And we know that God has a right appointed time for this. But you know, we've all fallen into a sleepy mode. Nothing much is happening. Nothing much is happening to me or whatever it is. We need to wake up, Full Gospel Assembly. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to wake up to our fellowship, our unity and oneness in the Spirit. We need to wake up and encourage one another in the gift and the gifts of the Spirit. We need to encourage one another where you are, whether it be at work or your next door neighbor. The harvest is out there. The laborers are few. Have you considered yourself? Have you said, Lord, here I am, I'm available? But you've got to hear the voice of the Lord. Isaiah heard him, and he made himself available, and look what God did through him. The trouble is, brothers and sisters, we still want our life. We have still got that independent spirit. I'll do it when I've done what I want to do first. And God then will fit in with my plans and so on. He doesn't. This is why God keeps saying it's empty vessels. It's a consecrated life. My life is set apart for him, for his use. And he's going to use each one of us for his glory. Some I know have a ministry of intercession. That's a ministry that's locked away behind doors. But wow, how powerful that is. Others have ministry who are good with people, who can share, and share the good news of the gospel. Others have ministry also moving alongside with works and helps and encouragements. We're all different, we're diverse, and yet we're led by the same Spirit for the glory of God. God wants you to know that you are productive, that you are being used of God. Don't look to anyone else. Just look to the Lord. It is you and God. Doesn't matter what your brother, your sister, or the minister or the pastor is doing. It's what God can and will do through me. That is the point. But I tell you, this will only come as you simplify your life before God. And you receive that simple engrafted word. And you will find yourself just moving and being and doing as the Spirit leads. For he's like the wind, isn't it? We don't know where he goes as we don't know where the wind goes. So we're just moving with him. I'm reminded the seeds of dandelions. After a dandelion has flowered, it then sets out a seed. And it's light, isn't it? It looks like a snowflake, a big snowflake. And have you watched, when the winds blow, those seeds just carry by the wind. They're just floating because they're so light. Wherever the wind takes them, that is exactly the same with you and I, brothers and sisters. It is that simple. Because it is by the Spirit he does this. It isn't by your effort, by your works, by your interference. It's simply waiting on him for him to use you at that right time and way. But we are experiencing a tremendous deliverance at the moment, I believe, in this assembly. I can't speak for other churches, but I can only speak for us, where God is really, really simplifying everything now. And we've been hearing it for years, to have a faith as a child and so on. Because otherwise, we're going to be always puzzled, vexed, as to how God works and why he did this or why he allowed that or why did that happen. And when we start asking these questions, and often that comes out of pride, we lose the simplicity that is found in Jesus. And therefore, because we won't remain simple, we therefore will not begin to understand these deeper truths that are to be found in the Scriptures. And in many ways, Jesus, in his ministry, in his early ministry, he introduced himself and to the disciples very much in this way, teaching them very simple things, things they could understand and relate to. And if they didn't, well, of course, we know the disciples asked him at a later time. And there were times when he would relate the deeper truths. But he had a reason for that, because he knew what the powers of darkness were doing. The powers of darkness will always try to complicate the message of the gospel. The powers of darkness, Satan, will always try to hinder. And do you know how he does it? He does it by raising questions. Yes, but what if? Or hath God said? Look exactly what he did with Adam and Eve, with Eve. Adam and Eve had a simple, wonderful, childlike walk relationship with Almighty God. And Satan came right along and he complicated it. He said, ah, yes, but hath God said that if you take of that you will die? He immediately complicated it. He immediately twisted it. He immediately created worry, anxiety, fear, and so on. Now, the only way, brothers and sisters, you and I are going to overcome this is to give our minds over to the Almighty God, to the Holy Spirit. Give your mind over to God. Confess you have the mind of Christ. Keep your mind under the blood of Jesus. And when those negative thoughts come in, those lies, the blood of Jesus over my mind. That is why it is written. The same as when Jesus overcame Satan in the wilderness. He kept his mind, his faith simple. And it's the same principle with us. It doesn't change, you see. And that's why he brings us the truth of his word. And as we receive that word in simplicity, in faith, it will become amazingly simple. Your faith is amazingly simple. To believe and trust God is amazingly simple. Let God unravel us. Let him change us. Let him do that work. Because this is our deliverance, brothers and sisters. This is where I believe what we're believing and pressing in for the last days. This is the key to this now. Because the world outside, the world out there is so complex. This is why people are cracking up. This is why this one in four has mental problems, depression, breakdowns. All of this is getting worse. Depressions, suicidal is getting worse. Why? Because life is so complicated. Relationships are so complicated. Everything has become so utterly complicated, and yet God is doing completely the reverse with us. Why that world out there is getting so complex, we are getting more and more simple in our thinking and mind and heart with Almighty God. What a wonderful deliverance. And that's why we're coming to that place where Jesus said, and I believe this is for the last days, in John 14, verse 12 onwards, which we know very well. In John 14 and verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Don't question it. Don't analyze it. Just thank God. He has said it. I believe it. I don't know how and when that will work or whatever, the blessings of that. All I know is it will. Because I desire and choose to keep my faith simple with Jesus and my walk simple with him. That's how we get into this, brothers and sisters. But all the while we look and say, oh yes, but I remember praying a few years back. I thought I was in faith, but look what happened. I wasn't. You've lost it. That's fear, worry, anxiety, unbelief got in there. And we need to get free of it. So that we can come back. So that we can fully focus on Jesus and have that simple, childlike faith. Now, as I close with this teaching tonight, only God can do this. You can't make yourself simple. You can't undo all the clutter and wrong things and wrong teaching that man and the enemy has put into our minds. Only God can do this. And these are the blessings of salvation and the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So as we remain with him, as we walk daily with him, just remember this. As you wake up each day, this is a day I walk with the Lord in fellowship, in relationship with him, and I am less complicated today than I was yesterday. And my faith today is simpler than it was yesterday. Because that is the work God is doing. So that I am completely free from all anxiety, worry, fears, all these things that the world worries about, I have been set free from it. And that means to be set free from that, that you can walk in an unbroken relationship 24/7 with Jesus. Because that's ultimately what this is about, is walking in that. If you say to me, that can't be done, it's impossible, that was things of the past, that was with the disciples, that was with the early church, then let God keep delivering you until you come to that place and you say, yes, God is all powerful to do that. And he can do that, and he will do that. I have been wonderfully saved. I have received the power of God in my life to change me, my whole being. You see, salvation is so great. That's why salvation to many people is controversial. It's radical, because it's a complete transformation. Our whole affections and desires are changed. We think differently now. We start to act differently. Our affections are not like they used to be, because they're put there. The same as I said, without the birds of the air, they instinctively know what to do. They don't question their actions, how they function. They just do it because they're made by God. How much more you and I, who are made in the image of God. Quit analyzing. Quit looking always for God to confirm things to us all the time. And he will confirm. Let these fears, confusions go. Just walk with the Lord and enjoy his presence. And just know in that simple childlike faith, nothing will separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, again, tonight you have spoken deliverance into our hearts. You've challenged us. You've shown us, Father, that it is a simple walk, but we have made it so difficult. We still look to the world, we still listen to the world and the enemy, which creates these fears, unbelief, anxiety, worries, and so on. Father, forgive us. Lord, we desire to have that simple childlike walk with you, just to believe and know that in your love and grace and mercy that you lead and guide us day by day, whatever our experience, whatever we go through. Lord, you allow us to go through these trials because you're working that deliverance. You're working that simple childlike faith. And that trial that I go through is the very means, is tailor-made for me to experience that simple walk with you. Father, help us not to complicate it. Help us just to trust you and to believe your word. And that whatever we encounter each day, it might take us by surprise, but it doesn't you. Help us, Father, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And to know that whatever we meet, whatever we encounter, you will equip us for that day. You don't leave us or forsake us. And you provide for our every needs. They're there. You just give them to us, Father. for us to partake and also to share with each other. And so, Lord, I thank you tonight again for this meeting. Thank you, Father, for the dear saints that have come into the room. I pray the blood of Jesus over them, Lord, and preserve and keep them and give your angels charge over them and be with them when they go out and when they come in. And Lord, I pray that they will prosper and be in health, that they will be a light in this world of darkness, that their feet will be led by the Spirit of God. I pray, Father, that you will empower them on high with the gifts of the Spirit. And that, Lord, they will be open to your voice, to your leading. Make them sensitive to the Spirit. Help them, Father, to only hear what the Spirit says and not what man or the enemy does. Father, we thank you tonight. And Lord, I believe that through this message that you've given to us, Lord, you will equip us because you have given us more light. And you will provide that provision so that we can walk this walk. We can walk what we've heard tonight because it's for your glory. And so I thank you again for this, Father, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And Father, now I want to thank you for our brother Bob, who is preparing to go to Kenya. We commit his ministry, his service to the people, Father. We commit his journey, his provisions. You will be here with him there. You will preserve and keep him from the evil one. You will bless the words that come from his mouth. You will cause him to walk by the Spirit and to go to the churches that you want him to go to. I pray, Father, that you will, through him, reach out and touch lives. You will touch the fivefold ministry and the pastors and the teachers. Lord, we thank you, Father, that this is a divine appointed time, and we commit our brother into your hands now, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And Lord, we thank you also for our sister Daphne, who's joined us tonight from down under. Lord, we thank you for her. We pray the blood of Jesus over her, and that you will be with her, keep her. And Lord, when she returns home, you will give your angels charge over her. We pray also in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, you all have a blessed week, and we will be having our prayer meeting on Sunday down in Andover. So until then, every blessing to you, and enjoy that loving, simple walk with your Saviour Jesus.
Till it finds fulfillment in the eye. flourishes onward, ever growing, till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security. And Jesus is the one, brighter by far than any sun, who overcame the enemy, who fought and won the victory. And Jesus is his name, all power is given unto him, who has redeemed. In the love of Jesus.